This is Lake Effect from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
Ruaha National Park in Tanzania may seem like a world away from Wisconsin, but Wauwatosa native Benji Cassio calls both of these places home. Cassio works for the Lion Defenders Program as the Human Wildlife Conflict Manager at Ruaha, where he's working to shift cultural attitudes around lions. Cassio was in Milwaukee recently visiting family before heading back to Tanzania. He joined Lake Effect's Joy Powers in the studio to talk about his work and how he came to it.
The story really starts when I was in my undergraduate studies, and I was really interested in music and culture, and I had the opportunity to go to Ghana in West Africa to look at, it was like an ethnomusicology project, to look at the diaspora of rhythm from West Africa to America, influencing hip-hop, and then back to West Africa. So I was like really interested in this, super excited to go to Africa, never had been. And when I went, I was just really surprised at the level of poverty and the lack of opportunities. And I found people weren't as focused on music as I thought they might be. You know, I think I was guilty of having this kind of romantic idea of everybody in Africa playing music. And what I saw was a lot of people more concerned with making a living, getting by. So when I came back from that, I was really it really moved me and really motivated me to get into a line of work where I could provide opportunities. I thought about what I wanted in my life and, you know, was it in America getting a, you know, fancy house, big car? I was like, no, not so much for me. So I went back to get my master's in international community development and have been working with nonprofits, mainly with governance, alternative livelihoods, this type of work for over the last 10 years, I'd say.
So for you, this work is really people-centric as opposed to animal-centric.
Definitely. And this is something that I think conservation has really moved towards in the last decade or so, because everybody wants to go and study the lions, go and watch them all day. But I think what people are realizing is that there are these people surrounding these wild areas, and the world is getting much smaller, we're running out of space, and there's conflict. And so people are looking for what are the solutions so that we can coexist. And so, yeah, there's been quite a shift. And I was just kind of lucky because I had this background and I do love wildlife. I would prefer to work with, an area like Ruaha with prolific wildlife than middle of nowhere. You know, many other places in the world have no natural resources like that.
Tell us a bit about Ruaha for people who might not know anything about it. What is that park like?
Sure. So Ruaha is part of this huge ecosystem in central Tanzania. Together with the game reserve surrounding it, it is an area about half the size of West Virginia, or we say the size of Switzerland. So it's a huge area. There's a river running through it called Ruaha, and so all the wildlife is centered around there. It is not on the most people would know in Tanzania, Serengeti National Park. It's a bit of a lesser known park. The density of animals is lower, but the density of people is also lower. So it's known throughout Africa as one of the more wild locations. You can go there and really, you're the only car watching a pride of lions as they're eating a zebra or something like that. So it's a very, very wild open space.
Well, the density of people is lower. As you mentioned, there is conflict in the area and historical kind of conflict between people and animals, particularly lions. What has that relationship looked like historically?
Right. So I'll speak for two tribes specifically. There's the tribe called the Baderbaig and the tribe called the Maasai. And historically, and actually currently, they're nomadic. I'd say they're shifting more towards semi-nomadic. But they have all of their livelihood, all of their cultural standing in their livestock, in their cows, goats, sheep, donkeys. So lions are obviously predators of this livestock. And it's much easier for a lion to kill a cow than it is to kill a buffalo. So what happens is that these lions, they'll come at night, they'll see these cows, they'll eat one of the cows, and then the local people will retaliate, and they will either put poison or they will go and spear them. So traditionally, they have hunts that are both retaliatory and cultural. We actually have a program called the Lion Defenders where we work with some of these young warriors and convert them into lion defenders. Instead of going out and traditionally spearing the lions, they now do engaging activities to protect them. And a lot of it is through prevention. So they help to find lost livestock when they're grazing. They help to reinforce traditional livestock enclosures. And then when hunts do happen, they go out and they stop the hunt. They tell the guys, remember the benefits that the project is bringing because of the wildlife. Remember, it's very dangerous to kill these lions. But in the past, it has been seen as a community service because it is the lion is a bit that roaming thief in the neighborhood. So if you eliminate that roaming thief, everybody is happy. They rejoice in that.
Well, and I was surprised by how many cultural benefits there really were to spearing a lion. It's not just that you're taking out this predator, but it also seems as though, you know, the people in your community, they reward you for this.
Absolutely. So what happens is when you spear and kill the lion, you'll cut off its right paw, and then you will sing a song and go from house to house. And they will give you livestock. You can receive gifts of women. It is really the only, you know, in a society that's nomadic, they don't rely on money. They rely on this livestock. So it's really the only way that they can kind of get up in society. They can get enough livestock to move from their father's house. So there's this limited social mobility, which is why part of our program is trying to integrate them into that modern economy. I still laugh because what these guys do with their salary right away is they go and they buy goats and cows. But it's a slow transition, and a lot of the guys, they're putting their kids in school. They've lived in this area longer than their fathers ever lived in an area. So they're seeing that the world is changing, and I think our program is providing an opportunity for them where, you know, there's not a lot of opportunities for nomadic pastoralists who've never been to school.
And how do you shift that paradigm? What do those conversations look like with people for whom this is, you know, this is a lifestyle?
Yeah, it's certainly a challenge, and it's been many years. I mean, our program has been around over 10 years. And it's a challenge because we might see that benefit. We might see how the world overall is changing. But for them, they're just seeing in their communities, the places that they've a lot of them have migrated from the north of Tanzania. And I always ask them, you know, like, why, when do you know it's time to move? And they say, well, when there's a farmland on the right and the left of us, then we go. So now they're saying, all right, well, we're seeing there's not this open space, and suddenly there's property rights, and people are getting upset with us because we're grazing in an area that used to be free, and there always used to be kind of this endless pasture. And so I think our program came along at a really good time because we don't want to be the ones that are forcing them to adopt this way of life or forcing them to adopt this program. I think there were several years where they were kind of skeptical, a bit on the fence. But I think that all of these pressures of development that are driven by Tanzania, driven by the world economy, not driven by us, I think they're seeing that this is a path and opportunity for them. And that, you know, in the past, you could kill a lion and nobody would really hear about it. And now the Wildlife Authority will come. You'll get arrested. I mean, this, just these things they never had to deal with in their culture. But because things are changing, they're being a bit forced to integrate into the modern world, if you will. They're seeing us as an opportunity, and they're taking it.
What does success look like in this program?
Success in our program, I think, reduced amount of conflict with wildlife. And whether that is the wildlife, the lions, the hyenas coming to the enclosures and eating livestock, or it is the other way and community members going to hunt and kill carnivores, both of those we want to see a reduction. I think second is an increased tolerance and more positive attitude towards wildlife. I think it's very difficult for a lot of people in the West. You know, we see lions and we see elephants as these majestic, beautiful creatures, but what they see them as is a threat. And really, you know, if an elephant is eating your maize field that is your livelihood for that entire year, or a carnivore, a lion is killed 20 of your goats, that is your livelihood, you see them as a threat. And I think we try to find these creative ways and to give them enough benefits to see that there is a benefit from living with this wildlife because they are the ones who are bearing the cost. So that's really important for us.
What have been the successes that your program has seen over its time in the area, in Ruaha?
Right. So we have seen a 60% reduction in depredation events. So that's carnivores killing livestock. A lot of this is from our program where we subsidize wire livestock enclosures. So it's basically chain link fence instead of just stacking thorny cut branches on top of each other, which is their traditional livestock enclosure. We've seen a massive reduction in lion killing in the area. So in our first year, in probably like 100 square mile radius, we had over 30 lions that were reported killed. And now we have over, 1,000 square miles. And last year, I think we had around 10. So we still have lion killings, but we're seeing a reduction, as I said, on both sides, from the conflict that the carnivores are bringing to the conflict that is coming as a result of that, the people going to hunt them.
Yeah. Well, Benji, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work with me.
Definitely. It's a pleasure. I think it's great to have bring the connection back. I think the Tanzania can seem very far. The threat of the lions can seem very distant. But I think it's very cool to kind of bring back the connection and let people in Milwaukee know that someone in Milwaukee working on carnivore conservation way out in Tanzania.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Benji Cassio is a Wauwatosa native and the human-wildlife conflict manager at Ruaha National Park in Tanzania. He spoke with Joy Powers.
You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at wuwm.com.